The Strike a Chord Podcast. Music Chit Chat with your hosts, Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord. Today we have the amazing artist, Stefan West. Stefan, how are you going?
I'm very good, thanks, Valentina. How are you?
I am very, very, very good. So, Stefan is an indie artist, right?
Yes, yep.
Guitarist and vocalist extraordinaire. I've heard your latest track, man. Brilliant.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate
moving.
It.
Very moving. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
As I said before, it affects people.
Mm.
And that's what you want, right?
Absolutely.
Was that your goal?
It's funny, like writing, through the time period of writing this song and then writing all the other songs that had come out, my goal was really just to, in the past, I'd written so many sad songs and so many, like, you know, it's so easy to write about being angry or being sad or...
Is that reflective of some of your past phases?
I think so, yeah. I think it's really I think it's very reflective of the positions that I found myself in and just like being unhappy and not feeling safe and not feeling secure in the positions that I was in.
You found it like an outlet?
I think it was an outlet. Yeah, not I think, it was definitely an outlet for me. And it was like, even if I had like a night where I maybe made decisions that I didn't really want to or...
No, we've all been there, mate.
Yeah. But then if I wrote a song about it, it was like, oh, it's okay. You know, it was like the therapy of it all. And then with writing all of these songs, I was like, I really want to represent the whole human experience or like what it means for me to be alive at this point in time. Because awesome. I like exploring why I feel sad, but I love exploring why I feel joyous and why I feel bliss and why things make me feel a little bit more aligned. And then if
That's
I get
counterbalance.
Angry, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Right. I, with this specific song, it was just like, in particular, I'd never sort of understood how I'd always see people that were happily married and I was like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand how I'm ever going to like find myself there or like, and I'm not now, but like at that time period, I was like, I don't understand how it happens. And I just moved in with a partner and she was like my best friend. Like we both taught Pilates at the same yoga and Pilates studio.
Pilates as well.
Yeah, I used to. Yeah. Yeah, so
we were both. Just keeps. Yeah.
Surprises.
Yeah.
So I taught. Her and I both taught Pilates there, and then I went on to teach yoga and meditation at the same studios, and then.
That's
mate,
great.
We're attracting.
That's
the universe
so great.
Is
this why? Tell me why.
Oh, look, we're both very much into meditation.
Yes. Yep.
And my wife's a Reiki practitioner.
Amazing.
And
yep.
we're very. Amla and I are very much spiritual and we're connected.
Yep.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is like people that are coming on for
the past few episodes. It's been fantastic. Like the guests, including yourself, I can already see the expansion of topics and just experiences. It's really cool.
Amazing.
Right. That's
what we want.
That's amazing. You see how the universe works?
Yeah, thank you, universe.
Mate, that's
I'm so glad to be here, by the way. Thank you for having me.
We're really rapt to have you, man. And sorry, we interrupted your story,
okay.
But that we just got really, really
we got really excited.
Excited.
No, I love that.
I love it. You know, an artist and an artist that is on that level, on that level that we are on, vibrating at those frequencies.
Yes.
I definitely think that the like this is sidestepping from what I was just talking about, but I got asked a few days ago. It was like a written interview and they were like, how does teaching meditation and yoga, is there a crossover between music and that? And I was like, well, for so long I used to just say to people, it's the same thing to me. Like it's identical. And it wasn't until probably the last 6 months that I like, maybe I just didn't have the space to reflect on that further or maybe I just didn't need to, but I was like, oh, it's not that they're the same. It's just that, if I want to explore what it means to be me, if I'm meditating consistently and if I'm moving in a body and cultivating more awareness in my day-to-day life, then I'm able to experience my life fuller and then I'm able to express what I'm experiencing better through music.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
And I
spot
was
on. As like a, this is getting to the point where it's now weird. No. No, but really.
And that's a wrap. No.
That's
get out.
That's
no.
Yeah, yeah. Meditate. No. Yeah. But that's so spot on. It's supposed to be like that. But there are a lot of people that, you know, beg to differ and everything like that. But it's how you feel, you know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And how you feel writing the music, and how do you feel with your phases, you know?
Yep, so absolutely.
Neighbors going to
and how they're feeling right
that's
now.
That's right. And they're totally aware that they've got a really powerful vehicle.
For anyone that can't hear, there is a boat.
Back enough.
And you just hit the moon.
Maybe just that was their way of saying
there,
bye.
We got some really cool neighbors.
I've noticed
really much into their into their cars and into their
some interesting neighbors. Yeah. You
is
have
is this a recurring theme?
In different quirky ways.
In different okay. I think it's just me, man. I get attracted to these things, and it's the universe. Yeah. They just like to be in my presence and cause havoc.
So I have a question. I want you to finish your story. You're on the path of meditation.
Oh, so yeah. So me and my partner. So we talked for this same space, and I was just in writing this song. So every Sunday I used to just hang out at home by myself. We'd moved in together. It was just this really interesting time period where it was like the first time I'd felt really safe and secure in a relationship. It was like, it was a two-bedroom apartment in Caulfield North. Like, it wasn't huge, but it was like our kingdom, you know? Like, no one was allowed in. Like,
sorry, I lived there for a year. Continue.
When did you live in Caulfield North?
What was the street? Ludbrook Avenue.
I don't know where that is.
I was on Orong, just off Orong Road. It was like the corner of Cambridge and Orong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
not too far away.
Yeah. The heart of
I was off Kooyong.
Oh, yeah, really close. Yeah, yeah, cool. And I remember this one Sunday afternoon, I just would just write to the point where sometimes it used to stress me out. So, yeah, I was just sitting at home writing all day, every day, whenever I could. I was teaching Pilates like 3 days a week. And by that, I was managing the studio prior to that, but then I stopped managing it and I needed to do something else. Just if I had been in a band before this, and I was like, all right, if I'm going to record music by myself without the four incomes that we had prior to this, I'm like, I need to earn more money. So I was doing 2 days a week landscaping as well. So teaching, doing that, and then just writing flat out. And I remember this one Sunday afternoon, I was like, the idea had come to my head, this happily ever after. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I'll never forget, like, she came in and I was just, it all just kind of clicked. I was like, oh my God, this is the thing, right? It's like, it's funny because I always go, you know, we didn't stay together and we didn't, but it doesn't matter because it's just a moment in time. But in this specific moment, I was like, oh, it's maybe it's that staying young forever thing is, it's being playful, it's staying curious, it's continuing to learn. And then it's like holding that frequency and then meeting somebody else at that frequency, like that's staying young forever. And the reason that was so surprising to me, or it felt like a moment of clarity or an epiphany or something, because that idea of staying young forever, it always, the scenarios that always met with other people was just like, oh, you know, you party forever, or you try and be silly forever and stay as a kid. And I was, and that never really resonated with me. And so that's how it sort of came about. And then the verses are really just like that, like, I know one of the lyrics is like this faded vintage feeling, like Polaroids lost in your closet for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for me, that was just like this nostalgic feeling of like, I felt this safe and secure before. Like, I know that it exists, but I don't know how it comes back into my life, you know?
So that's all got to do with your soul, mate.
Yeah.
Because we grow old physically, but the soul is there.
Soul's always soul,
and that's
go
it.
Away. Yeah.
Yes,
that's where you get your inspiration from.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
But it's a great, it's a great thing when you all of a sudden something happens and you think, oh, shit, this is good, and this is what it is, and you want to ride that wave, and you want to ride that wave for the rest of your life, you know.
Yes,
and that you can't describe that to a normal person. If you're an artist and with it doesn't matter what sort of artist, whether you're a musician or a painter or a sculpture,
when this piece of work, when a piece of work, when you've done it or something happens and you think, shit, this is what I've been searching for, this is what I've been striving for, you know, and then it happens and bang, it's done. Mm. And you think, it wasn't too hard.
No.
It just fell into place.
Yes. You know? But that was this song. It was just done, like it was finished 4 years ago. And I never touched it again.
Oh wow, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're releasing it and you're releasing it on the 15th.
Wow.
Jeez.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it was awesome. Written That's, a really long time ago. Yeah. So the collection of songs that are to come out were all written through, I would say, like a two-year period. It was funny, like a lot were written in 2019 into 2020. Then when COVID hit, like I had started releasing songs in 2020 that I'd obviously written much earlier than that and recorded. But then it sort of just, I mean, to be honest, for me, COVID was some of the best years of my life. Like it gave me so much space and just
I agree.
Like me, like all the musical part, like Aaron, a guy named Aaron Shembri, he wrote all the music, like so these songs, all those guitar licks, all the bass lines, everything, that's all him. So he's
really
like,
I was gonna ask you about that.
No, that's not me. Like that's so him and I.
You got a good right hand man.
Yeah, I've got a great right hand man. He's the best. So yeah, what happened was me and my partner at the time, we moved out of that house. We went back to Geelong, And we had to stay at my parents' house for around 3 months because we couldn't get a house in Geelong anywhere. Mm. I'm sure it was probably the same everywhere. But him and I was just I was recording the guitar, like just the chords and the vocal melodies and just sending them to him. And he, do you know GM Sound Studios?
I sure do.
I'm going to stay with the guys there tonight. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I'm really.
I know the owner.
George.
George. Yeah.
Giorgio. I know George. Giorgio. Yeah, I know George. I love George. So this is where all this was recorded.
Oh, you recorded at GM?
Yeah, with Chris Gatz.
Great.
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Jeez, there's a lot of connection there.
Yeah. So I'm going there straight after this. So, but
and I don't believe in coincidences.
No, neither.
So things are supposed to happen. But GM Studios, I actually did work experience at George owned the business. He owned the building, and there was another guy in there. But I was like 17, no,
really?
16.
It's the same owner. Wow.
No. It's the same owner of the building.
Yeah, yeah.
The owner of the business, sort of like I don't know what happened there, but George sort of took over the whole business with the thing, and then he expanded that other warehouse where it's the sort of like the bar side and stuff. That wasn't
amazing.
There when I was doing. Like this was years ago. A long time ago.
It's like
a long time ago. But great, it's a great, great studio. And they were always ahead in technology too. They wanted to try new technologies and stuff like that. It was great, great, great studio.
George is still like that now. Like every time I go there, they're trying to make something better, the sound system better, the lighting
better. Yeah, they've always been
like
that. Like
it's
great.
Amazing. It was the best environment to recording. So Shembri was spending a hell of a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally just sending him every song. I'd send him one, he'd send back, what do you reckon of this? Great. Next song, how are we going to do it? And then the recording process of it, we just like, I'd camp there for like 4 or 5 days, just record, flat stick, drummer Sammy came in. We did 11 songs in 2 days, drums and bass.
Wow.
You would have been exhausted. Everyone would have been exhausted.
We were fucking wild. Like,
off the walls.
Oh my God. Like I was running around in circles. Shembri's going, this guy's insane. What am I even doing here? Chris is just like, like going for it. Oh my God. It was bonkers. But and that's also why it took so long. And to be, like in COVID, like we finished all these songs, and because venues and shit were closed for so long, I was still teaching Pilates, and I'd just done all my trainings for yoga, and I just dove headfirst into that world. To be honest,
yeah, it was meant to be, mate.
Yeah, it was.
It was meant to be.
It was a really beautiful amount of space. Like the band that I was in prior to going solo was just a bit of a nightmare to be like towards the end. It was a great experience. We played some amazing shows, released some great music, but the dynamic between the four of us just wasn't very healthy, unfortunately, in the end.
And look, that happens.
It does. It really
but
does.
If you learn to accept it earlier on, you're either gonna be really sad, or you're gonna accept it and think, you know what, it's time to move on. Time for the next one.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's happened to a lot of people.
I know. Yeah, well, it doesn't seem to be like it. It was a very common theme, it sounds. It was just crazy reflecting. I called one of my really good friends, Olga, she lives in Sydney. She's a film producer and she used to do our old film clips. And I said to her, I go, God, it took me a long time to come back to this album. And she's like, yeah, you needed space. And I was like, you know, when you're so close to something, you can't see it yourself.
Yep.
And I was sure like, yeah.
But I've got a wife to remind me, so I'm lucky.
Yeah, I didn't have I didn't. I had Olga, fortunately. And she's like, yeah. She's like, you just need the space. And I was like, oh my God. And to be honest, for a long time, there was small bits of frustration because I was like, why can't I do this thing I love more than anything in the world? And it was like, oh, just the cycles of life sometimes call for space within whatever area it was. And for that time it was necessary. But yeah.
It's a very common thing with us musicians, you know? Where we go hammer on times because the industry is such a hard industry, and we think, you know what, we're on something that is, you know, giving us gigs, we're getting there, we're playing, you know, and we think this is where we have to be, but sometimes it's not. And this is where we need to identify it ourselves. And Amla and I have been in that predicament where we think, you know what, well, maybe we don't have to be, you can't say yes all the time, you know, only because you're not going to be happy and you're going to burn yourself out. But the thing that balances is that if, you know, you're getting gigs and you're getting paid and you're getting like finances, then you think, well, you know what, at least I'm making money playing music. But whether that's right or
wrong,
you've
got to find the balance again. Like you're saying, obviously you needed time out there. I still have a song that I wrote it and recorded it with a friend, and it's still sitting on his computer.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like releasing it anytime soon, and that's okay. I think
it's
almost like it might just be something I never release, but because I think I've changed during that time and I needed space. Like, so I totally get what you're saying with the space, and it opens new doors and new ways of being, which seems to be the case for you.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think it's funny, like what you were just saying about, like, because so many things come at you being a musician, and you've got to put so many hats on, and you're just like, it's such a funny thing because you're not dealing with like one or even two people that can kind of, they understand where you're coming from. There's like endless people.
Correct.
And they all just like, hey, can you just do this? It's like, oh, it's just a little thing here and there. And then all of a sudden you're like, why did I book that many gigs in a row?
And on top of that, you want to do your own stuff.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
And on top of like the gigs, you probably do session stuff. You have to record stuff, or you have to go and do this for that person or for that for this person. And it's like, it all gets inundating. And then at the end, you burn out.
Yeah.
Right? Because your creativeness becomes stagnant and it just, you become you're like mechanic, you're in a lull. So
it comes to work in the end.
I do too. That's been a really interesting thing learning as well, just being like guys that just love that side of the industry. Like they absolutely love it.
And that's, we need that.
Absolutely.
We need to learn from it too.
100%.
Because you can't go hammer and tongs all the time.
No.
Right? And even recording, like I know sometimes you get a bit of a, you know, a brain freeze or, you know, writer's block or whatever it's going to be, and then you know, you have to change your approach.
Yeah.
So then you sort of, you know, you come into a phase where you don't get a lot of gigs and you're becoming a bit more, you get your breath back a little bit. You can go into the studio and you handle yourself.
100%. Earlier this year, I got really sick and I had 2 weeks off. A bunch of stuff had happened in a really short amount of time. And I got really sick. And in that couple of week period, I had to take a few weeks off, and I was actually house sitting. So what had happened is about 15 months ago, I moved in with my grandparents. I was going to be for 3 months. Me and one of my friends that I taught with were going to move in together, but my nan was really sick. So I was like, I want to stay. I want to spend some more time with her. And then also, like, this works for me. This is the first time in my life I'm making good money off music. I'm like, this album's nearly finished. I think the songs are pretty good. Like, and I want to give them a really good chance at, you know, being put out into the world. And then through the start of this year, Nan just got more and more sick, and she passed away in May. So
sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. It was the most beautiful and the most horrible simultaneous experiences of my life. And I just didn't stop. Like, my pop the next morning, I went to a gig, came home, and they just didn't come home. And I was like, what's going on? And Nan had passed away at the front of this party that they'd gone to. It's how she wanted to go. Legend. She's like,
at a party.
Well, like, yeah, pretty much. Like, very traumatic for everybody else involved, but I know that's what she would have loved.
She would have had a smile on her face.
But I just didn't stop, because, like, that, I learned a lot from that generation from living with them. I was like, God, like, it's really good to feel your emotions. It's really good to be aware of everything you're going through. But on the flip side, you also just have to get on with it sometimes as well.
Definitely.
And definitely. So I just got on with it, and then as a result didn't know how to turn getting on with it off. And got quite sick.
Okay.
Ran
yourself down.
It ran myself down. But in that process of coming off, the reason I started saying all of this was in that 2 weeks off, I didn't write a single song about that, but I wrote, I think, 5, 6, 7 songs over this period. Just sitting there playing, and I was just like, oh my God, all I needed all this time was some space. Like, I haven't had space for like 6 months. So I've been living in that environment, which again was beautiful, and I can't believe I got to spend that time with her. But once it's like, and also sometimes maybe we just can't have space, and that's a thing too. But I, so many times, like you said, I would beat my head against a wall, or like, why can't I just write more, or this or that? And it's like, maybe it's not time to write, man, and maybe you just need to chill out.
I agree 100%.
Yeah,
that's how I was with my album. My album was on hiatus for 6 months. Maybe 10 months actually. And then all of a sudden COVID hit. And I had space.
Yes.
And that's when it all just, like a waterfall, bang. It's like, it's coming back, everything. And then one after the other, it was like, for me, the hardest part for me was laying down the guitar tracks.
Okay. Yeah.
Of my own compositions, because I like to torture myself, but that's a different story. So for me, laying down all those guitar tracks, for me, was a massive achievement, right? So then after that, it was like, you get the momentum.
Yes. Yep.
And you get the momentum. And then, you know, you have good friends around you, good colleagues that, you know, they'll give you feedback. And then you go back and you tweak a few things. And then you get colleagues to come and record things for you. And that was probably the best part of everything, like having, you know, like Amla recorded on my album and a few other people recorded, and that was the highlight of my journey with the album. It's the camaraderie, right, between you and
collaboration,
the different minds, the ideas that come from different people. Because when you're recording, especially when I'm recording, I'm in solitude, so it's really good and really refreshing when I have people come into my studio and I say, all right, well, this is what I have. You know, some things you'll sort of like dictate of what you want on some things, but not everything. So you want to have that bouncing off the artists and the collaboration, right? Uh-huh. So that's magic.
It's fully, like, there's no way that these songs would have turned out the way they did had I, like, far out. Like, how's the guitar on this track? Like, so, you know, the solo at the end.
Yeah.
When I put it in to CapCut, it actually thinks somebody's singing. So,
really? Oh, wow.
I got shivers. Like, I put it in, I'm getting shivers now. I put it in because I've listened to it so many times with my eyes closed. I've cried so many times listening to this thing. I've just wanted to call and hug him because I'm just like, how did you make my song sound this good? Because it's like, he captured what I was feeling and what I was trying to evoke through my emotion. And he's like, he's playing on this whole album. So throughout every single song, and every song's so different. But like that outro solo, I was always like, it sounds like somebody's singing. I know you hear people say the guitar sings and all that stuff, but I suppose I've never been so aware of it because this is like the song that I'm releasing. And yeah, when I put it into CapCut and it was like, ooh la, and then put a word, I'm like, oh my God, it thinks that there's a human singing, like crazy. Yeah.
But what a decision to have the song ending on a guitar solo.
Yeah.
Who made that decision?
So I was told, like, I was working with a manager earlier this year and she's like, you've really got to make a radio edit of this. And I was like, no, I can't. I'd prefer less people to hear it.
Don't touch it.
I was like, I'd prefer less people to hear it and hear it.
Keep
as
it organic.
It is. Like, it has to, like, that, like, when we recorded the final thing, and there's nothing special in the way that I sung the final line. I think it was just like, what is it? The only way we know how to live our life. How to live our life. And I said to Chris, I was walking around the studio like a maniac, like I always am. And I said, dude, I just want it to feel like I've dropped the mic, and then as it builds back up, that solo is the essence of the rest of the song, because it is.
And that's what it is.
And that's what it is. That's like the whatever.
And you can't edit that. No
you
way.
Can never get rid of that.
No. And that's the thing. People are going to say, oh, yeah, do another version of this, another version of that. It's not the same.
It's
not the same. And it cuts away. Like, these days, you know what? There are so many platforms, so many things. You don't need a radio edit for it.
I don't think so either.
It's not what your product is and what your feeling at the time of that composition and arrangement. Let it be.
I really wonder what's going to happen, because songs are getting so short now, which is nothing. Some songs that I love right now are under 2 minutes. I'm like, this is wild. They're really cool.
Oh, man, I'm going
the
other way.
They used to be. Yeah, you are going the other way.
Getting longer. So
I've got 9 minute track. It's like,
I love
that. Whole journey. It's like.
But I'm wondering if it's going to go back that way, because you like the cycles of music and like.
It depends on the genre.
Yeah, okay.
I'll tell you why. Because, like, I'll give you a couple of examples. Your pop. There's a formula, right? And you'd know this. There's a formula, it has to be under 3 minutes or under 4 minutes, whatever it was, and whatever it is. When you go into different genres, and I'm going to put metal as a genre.
Yes.
Some of those tracks go on for 15 minutes.
Yeah. They're sick tracks, right? Too.
Some albums have two tracks that are 20 minutes each, right? But that one track takes you on such a journey that you forget where you were when it started. So this is the thing, and that's where you're living in the moment of every second of the track.
Yes.
And this is how I listen to music. Every moment of the track. Like, if there's a moment where, now with pop music, you got your A and B sections, your chorus, pre-chorus, verse, and this, that. With
And that's
a journey, and that becomes for some people too much. So it's your target audience.
Yes.
So with this, with your track and the guitar being at the end, you might get a target audience.
So you're maybe you're expanding it.
I'm really interested to see, because like the next song after this that I plan on release is like 2 minute and 15 second like acoustic folk track that has two verses, two choruses, and nothing really changes. It's amazing. I love it. Yeah.
So acoustic.
Yeah. Acoustic, I think it's a different story. Yeah.
Are you?
Oh, I love it. I love folk music.
Yeah.
Really good. You know yourself.
I mean, I guess like, but yeah, I'm just curious, like, as in, like, you're right about the music getting shorter. I'm wondering if it's an attention span issue as well.
I definitely think it is.
I feel like since COVID, with the technologies and everything, I guess I'm noticing it at school. The teenagers and all of that, they're just, the general attention span is very limited.
I think
that kind of spreads across a few different.
I think you're right.
100%.
My son has a friend and he goes, he hasn't listened to a song for more than 20 seconds. He hasn't listened to a song for more than 20 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Any
and
song?
We're talking about teenagers
any,
now.
Any song?
Any song.
What
Does
about
he like
ringtone?
Music?
He likes music, but he's just up to 20, 30 seconds and that's it. Next.
What about when the phone rings? That's the song, technically.
I don't know. I don't know. You got a point. But you might be right. There might be
you know, it might be a thing, but I reckon music's still music. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
And going back to, you know, the approach that you have in regards to, you know, the acoustic versions and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
it's a different ballgame.
It is. It's
completely different. Especially when you're playing live.
Yeah, so that's where I'm about to step. Like, I've been pretty much just playing by my, not pretty much, I've been playing by myself for the last.
It sounds great. I've been listening to that. I've been watching some of that.
Thank you, man.
How good is it when you've got a guitar in your hands and you're controlling, not controlling, but you're accompanying yourself?
Yeah, I love
it. It's intimate. It's, I find it more. I like the intimacy of one man, because sometimes I've overdone it too. Like you kind of experiment as well, but you can also. It sounds like you were about to say you want to experiment with a band setting.
Well, I'm starting to. I'm actually jamming with a mate tomorrow night. Just I've got a few shows coming up in January. I'm going to kick off starting to just do not so much launch shows or release shows of this, but I just want to explore a little bit more of what it kind of how I can. Give these songs a new life live as well.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Really fun.
To see what, yeah. And see what the receptors are like how people are going to receive it and what is going to happen when I'm going to play these things live.
For sure.
Because it might have a different effect.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, because it's so funny. So this album, this album was meant to be acoustic. Like going into it, I was like, this is an acoustic album, this and that. And my God, like there are like, pop punk tracks on this album. There are like 90s rock tracks on this album. There's awesome, like awesome. Like this jazzy number that's really quirky with the most quirky lyrics that I've ever written, and I just love it. It's called Slow Down World, and it's just about when self-help goes too far, you know, when it
self-help goes too far, that's,
you know, and I like that. But yeah, so we laughed because one of the last days recording, Shembri goes, looked at me and he goes, great acoustic track. Oh, great acoustic album, pal. And like patted me on the back. And I was just, and we're listening to like the 7 guitar tracks that he just laid down. And they're like, my dad's playing trumpet on the album.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
So the first single, Take What You Need, dad's playing trumpet on that. And then that Slow Down World song. And then there's another song called Hard Times that he's playing trumpet on too, which I never thought would happen. Like I played trumpet when I was like 10 for a couple of years. Because my dad, like I grew up watching him march in the marching bands in Geelong and play trumpet.
Awesome.
So I said to him, he hadn't played for a while. And I was like, God, I'd really love some brass on this album. And I went to him one day and I said, hey, can you still play? And dad's like, yeah, he'd played since he was tiny. His dad played, his brothers played their whole life.
There you go, it's embedded.
It's embedded. And he goes, I go, would you be interested in playing on my album? Because one of the things, going into this album, one of the things, like a sidestep apart from music, I really wanted to like connect with my family a little bit more. Mm. And my parents are the best parents in the world. I know everyone says that about their parents, but, and I'd never really built a strong relationship, not because of them, but it was all just because of me and leaving really early and not
facing
having
the world
capacity
early.
To be there. And yeah. So going into this, I was living in Geelong and I was like, I really wanted to connect with him more and more and more. And one of my goals going to it was like, I'd love to connect with dad more on this because he loves music arguably more than I do. Mm. And I really would love him to be a part of this. And it wasn't until after the album was done, that last song was really released, that I was like, holy shit, like, dad, we're on an album, like we're on a song together. I never thought that would ever happen, you know?
But you actually lived in the moment. So it's something that was bound to happen.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
It was bound to happen.
Yes.
Just the right time.
Yeah.
The right time. And how does he feel about him being on it?
Oh, he's over the moon. Like,
that's great.
He's got carpal tunnel, so he just had an operation. I said to him, I was like, are you going to be able to play again? He goes, absolutely. I've just got to let
him
heal.
No carpal tunnel here. No. put me in the studio. Love it.
So, yeah, because I said, I'd love to, like, have you on a live show if we could swing it. And he's like, yeah, like he's like, look, I've got to let it heal and whatever, but he goes, I want to get back to playing so we could do that. I was thinking about that. I was like, were you? And he's like, yeah, I've been awesome. Thinking about that. And I was like, amazing. So
maybe we should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, get dad on here.
Awesome. That's a great story. And this is where, you know, you start thinking in a different way.
Mm.
And you think it's a different phase of your life. So yeah. What you said before, you know, you're smashing it live
with a band and everything like that. And now your thinking has changed
So your mindset has changed.
Yes.
So your mindset has gone from playing, being a musician, to actually producing, right? So that's where it's going towards. So what about if you do this? Oh, maybe a bit of trumpet here. Maybe that's a different hat.
Yes.
So that's progress.
It's really funny you say that, because it wasn't till like I've been listening to the album the last couple of weeks. I gave it a break for a little bit because I was like, I'm just too close to this thing and I'm just hearing everything. Mm. I gave it a break and then I listened to it again with like really fresh ears. And that thought actually came to my mind because I was like, oh yeah, we work pretty hard on this thing. It's been like, we started recording it at the end of 2021. So even the recording process had been a couple of years. And you sort of, when things are over a long time span, you kind of forget, don't you? You're just like, yeah, like we worked on it, but whatever. And then when you go, oh no, hang on a second. The hours of just like, can you tweak that up a little bit? Sorry, I might be like, the amount of times I call Chris and I'm like, listen, dude, I'm really sorry, but I'm pretty sure that needs to go there or this needs to go there. And I never even thought of it as producing or anything like that. But it's only been the last couple of weeks. I was like, oh no, that's exactly what I was doing and we were doing together, you know?
And have that mindset.
Yes.
You need to have that mindset. Mm. If you're going to go now and be doing live shows and stuff like that, even that's a production as well. That's yes. So you need to tweak things and convert them to an acoustic thing or to a one-person gig, you know? Yeah. So that's producing as well.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to like start that process because you know what it's like playing gigs all weekend, every weekend. You're just sort of like, all right, cool. I'm doing the things that I need to do to step forward and play my songs, but also there's a whole array that I really want to make sure everybody has a good time as well and all that kind of thing. That's why we're doing it, right? And then the shift to being like, all right, how do I make these songs the best they can possibly be for me to evoke that same or like a different emotion in a different setting to just give these songs that new lease of life. And it's going to be something that was scaring me for a while, to be honest. I didn't even realize it was scaring me. I was just like, I feel like there's a little bit of resistance to doing this, or like I was like, oh, it's not time yet. And then again, it was a space thing. Once I got space to really be able to reflect on why that was, I was like, oh no, I'm nervous for the next phase. As you, it's a good nervous. Say, it's like an excited nervous.
Get the adrenaline going a bit.
And that's a good place to be as well. As musicians and as artists, you want to go out there and you want to show what you have and you want to make people's lives better for it.
Right? Absolutely.
And the way you do it is the way you do it. Mm. You know, and some people do it in a different way. Some people do it through their recording.
Yes.
Some people do it through live. Some people do it through both.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it via other means. But I think you need to go out there and give it.
You got to experiment a bit too. Like, be playful and just try it. Like you were saying, you're trying a different thing. And sometimes it might not resonate at one gig, but it might it might work for another audience as well. Like you said, it's kind of just experimenting, having fun.
Experimenting is great.
Yeah.
I love experimenting.
Yeah, same.
Like it's something that, especially if you're experimenting with someone else, that's the best.
Yeah.
Like if you're clicking with someone and things are happening and things, there's that energy that's happening. It's like, man, this is the best. Like, you don't want it to end, but unfortunately, it does come to an end.
I start running around, I'm just like, oh my God, what are we doing? Shepherd's like, Stefan, just calm. Well, I can't, man. This is amazing. Yeah. I didn't know it could sound like this.
But that's the beauty as well, right? And that you can't explain to normal people. Like,
it's a feeling. Like, it's an emotion. You can try and describe it like we are now. But,
it's different when you have it and you know it, you relate to it.
I went camping a few weeks ago. Me and one of my really good friends, Steve, and we'd gotten there really late there on the Sunday night, and then we were camping for Monday and Tuesday in my van, actually. I love it. I have awning and I've got a bed in the back and everything. But the next morning, I said to him, I was like, we were in Swan Bay. Oh, no, not Swan Bay, Blanket Bay, down past Apollo Bay. So
nice.
It was stunning. Mm. I said to him that morning, I had my guitar and I was like, oh, can I play you a couple of songs? I've got the next album mapped out and I've got the concept for it and just been writing a bunch. I said, can I play you a few songs? And I played him a couple of songs and then I just started explaining it. And he looked at me and it was really nice. I've never had anybody notice this before. He looked at me and goes, you just love this more than anything, don't you? And I was like, dude, it is the best feeling in the world. And it was so nice for somebody. I don't know why it was nice, but it was just being seen and being acknowledged.
Yeah.
And I was like, I do. And like him seeing and acknowledge it made me just want to talk about it more. He's just like, and he said to me, he goes, I've known him for like 18 years. And he goes, I had no idea how much you love this until like now, until I see it.
That's a common thing with us musos, you know. Some of our closest friends though. don't know how embedded we are and how
until they capture the moment that we're in, because I can't even replicate it.
Yeah. Sometimes, and you won't be ever able to replicate it. I know some improv sessions I've had made. I've been wanting to get that back, and
don't get me started on that.
That's why Amlora and I we play gigs, and it's half improv. Like we just go out there and play, and it's just awesome.
And it's challenging for me. Like I've been a bit nervous about this gig coming up, but in a good way. Like it's forced me to go okay, and like this links into prioritizing and finding the balance and not doing too many shows. I've actually taken on too many things in the last couple of weeks. So
you were in that cycle once before.
I know.
And then you sort of like said, yeah, I'm going to pull
back.
Now you're back in the cycle. But that's good. But that's okay. Okay because you've got ups and downs. You've got to ride the wave.
But sometimes, you know, it's just better if you jump on someone else's surfboard or boogie board.
Yeah. And because like you were talking at the start about how much you two both like meditation and all that kind of stuff. With like improv and like even I find with songwriting or like everything, how much do you find having like a really regular practice? Have you noticed the difference between having a really regular meditation practice and like going into improv sessions and being able to switch that on more? Or is it like,
same. Yes, exactly. Yep. You don't go in with any, because improv is improv as well. Like sometimes we overthink it, and I'm an overthinker. Yeah. And that's not the only reason why I meditate, but it helps calm the mind and bring you into the moment. Yeah. And it's about the moment, the improv. So the meditation brings you back into that moment, obviously. And then
that moment's shit. Yeah. The improv's going to be shit.
Yeah.
Because you're bringing it onto yourself.
Yes.
You have to be, with improv, it's, you can calculate a little bit of it, but that you can't let it over-calculate. You can't let it, because that's not improv.
Mm.
It's actually your arranging.
Yeah.
So when you're playing, things have to come to you from the soul.
Yes.
You've got to have this, your bits of
that. You've got to have some guidelines.
Yeah, you've got to have some guidelines. But that initial, that gist, that thing, that magic comes from within, like from the soul. And if your soul is tense and you've got tension and you're thinking, oh shit, what am I going to do tomorrow for whatever, you know, what am I going to have for breakfast tomorrow? It's not going to work. You know, you're going to start tensing up. You're going to start, your mind's going to think one thing, your fingers are going to do something else. And that's not good. But if you let it go and you're in a good place, and meditation helps.
You let it flow.
you finish the flow.
Yes.
You get to be in a different world.
Yes, yeah.
So you're vibrating on different frequencies, right?
Yes, yep.
So when you get to those frequencies and you get to those frequencies with someone that's vibrating at those frequencies, and you're getting there and you're getting higher and higher and higher, you get to a point where when you stop playing, your adrenaline and you're still vibrating there, and you probably notice this when you're coming from a good gig, it takes you a while to come down. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So those improvs, like sometimes a 5-minute improv can get me to that point. Because I was brought up on improv.
Cool.
Like my dad was a musician as well, and he used to say, always improv, because this is your character. This is what's going to get you to composing and arranging too.
Well, that's how I write. Like I'll just start writing, and then I was going to say all the best songs, but I think like sometimes just sitting down and putting the work in has also like given me really great songs too. But like the easiest ones are it's just improv. Like I'll sit there. I've got recordings in my phone that are 30 minutes long of me playing the same chord progression, singing 7 different verses.
That's not unusual.
Yeah.
That's not unusual.
Yep.
It's like Tom Hanks. But that is what it is, right? And that's going to take you to that next level when you hear it and you hear it and that repetition. And that's actually arranging and composition.
Yes.
If you're going to play a one-off, well, that's improv.
Yeah.
So you can go into a studio, right, uh-huh, or a live scene or whatever, uh-huh, and you can go in there and start improving with even melody, even words. You can jump on the stage and just you'll have some chord progression playing, and you come up with some words, and you think, shit, how did I do that? And mm-hmm, you just come up, and that's improv.
Yeah,
that's beauty.
It is beauty.
Everyone can do it. Everyone. Yes. Everyone can be an artist. Everyone can do it.
We're improvising at times in life, you know.
Exactly. So constantly.
Yes. I retract my previous statement. Constantly.
You just have to allow yourself to do it.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to do it. And this is where we second guess ourselves. And think, I don't know if I'm in the zone or not. Feeling it, and then you just back.
Oh, it'd be so easy to knock yourself out.
Yeah, hey. Just play with them.
I'll just play G for the entire
time. Yeah, that's it. Or just get off and have a coffee or something.
Yeah.
No, the amount of times I've like sung again for a bunch of minutes and just screwing around and then stopped and just, I've just been like, that sucks or whatever. And there are always times where if my practice has slipped or if there's not enough space in my life or I don't have enough capacity to hold myself. So, and then I'll come back to it a day or two later. And I'm like, that was a really good idea. But I can remember the moment that I pulled myself out of that flow.
Mm.
And it's like, God, it's just constantly getting out of your own way. And that, I know that's not a new idea or concept. I think everybody says that in one way or another. But it's so interesting, like getting to talk to other people about it. And
oh, look, and I think for me, the worst thing for me, and which I've in the last probably maybe recently, like two, three months,
uh-huh,
is I don't compare myself to anyone anymore.
Yes.
As a musician, yep. I don't compare myself. Mm-mm.
No.
And I don't find excuses for myself either.
Yes.
So if I think, oh, I can't do this, well, I can't do this for a reason, and it's for a reason, not an excuse, you know? So they're different things.
Yes.
You know, where you find yourself, you're, my hand's a bit sore, you know? Nah. It's because you're not there, you know? You can, I'm a firm believer of self-healing, so you can heal yourself while you're doing things if you really want to do it.
Yes.
If you keep on finding excuses, you're going to go into this vicious cycle, right? And I think part of what we do and why we love it is because we're out of that vicious cycle because we're doing something creative. We're doing something that it's coming from us.
Yes.
That's why when you start comparing yourself to other people, and everyone's different. Everyone's unique. Everyone's got their own DNA. Everyone's got their own little thing, own little quirks, own little things. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that, you know, if I'm not at that stage with this person or with that person, or I'm playing with, because I've played with some really, really cool musicians and big musicians, and they think, geez, I'm not at that standard, that's where you're gonna fall.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you think, you know what, they're them, I'm me,
mm-hmm,
there's different, but different's good.
Yeah,
it's a collaboration, you know? In the end.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And if you exactly right,
it's getting out of that mindset, I guess, as musicians, we because we are out there promoting ourselves, we can fall into that pattern of am I good enough? Are people liking this? Oh, that person seems to be doing well. And then you're like, oh, okay, all right, step back. Why am I doing this? Like, what's the purpose of, like, there's a whole, like you said, getting out of your own way.
Yeah, fully.
And that amplifies, it's amplified now in these times.
Fully.
Yeah.
Because of social media and everything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. What we're talking about, right?
Exactly.
Posting constantly, creating content constantly. Yeah,
it's happening, but it used to happen earlier on too. Yeah. And I'll take
MySpace. I'll
tell you, no, before social media.
When I was playing, and I was a teenager, I was playing, you know, I was doing gigs, right? I was playing pro, and I had this guy who was way older than me, and he saw me play, and met him like a 2-3 years later, you know, and I knew he was a musician, and he goes, nah, I don't play anymore. I go, why aren't you playing? You're really, really competent musician.
Yeah.
I go, why aren't you playing? He goes, look, I saw you play 3 years ago, and I stopped.
Really?
Oh. And that didn't feel good.
No.
So this is what's happening in an amplified effect now with social media.
Yeah.
You see these people ripping and shredding and you think this the kid's 5 years old and you think, my God, I've got arthritis.
They're all violinists too.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God. You think, but you shouldn't, and this is what you should never compare.
It's true.
Compare the pet. Nah, you never compare, right? And this is the thing, right? It's not a good place to be.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of one specific moment on the videos. There was a guy on a unicycle, like playing like 10 instruments. I'm exaggerating, but he was like singing and he had one hand doing something else. And I was just like, what the? I'm like, all right, I quit. I mean, I was joking, but it's his own quirk. Like it's something different.
But look at all the effort he's putting in.
Yeah, a lot of effort.
He's got no excuses. There's no excuse there, mate. No. There's no excuse. Where you think, oh, man, oh, the guitar's a bit loud. Oh, the bass can go up a little bit. Nah, no excuses. He's doing everything.
He's doing everything.
And you think, shit. Yeah, and that's where you think, I'm just giving it up. That's where the love for it comes in.
That's where the love of music. That's where you got to remember your why.
Your why, yeah. Exactly. And this is the thing where,
lately, I've been exploring other genres and everything like that, and I've fallen in love with recording again, where I was really reluctant on recording about two years ago.
Mm. And you know this story, I was scared of it.
Yeah.
I would rather go and play live, where it happens there, then, and that's it. With the recording, it's actually just stamped.
Yeah.
So
it's there for all time.
Yeah, and I don't know, something just clicked and I started doing this album and I think, geez, I do what I do and this is the best I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean,
so you get it out there and you do it and you think, man, you don't have the comparisons, you don't have this, you don't have that, and you start falling in love with it again. Start falling in love with music again. Mm-hmm. You start doing more and more and more of it, you know, and that's why we do it, to be happy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to say, like, this... some of these songs I record the vocals for like 3-4 times. Like, oh, I hated. Here's the thing, I love recording because I love getting the things down and I love the creation process. When we first started recording the album, I can honestly say I had zero expectation. I was just in there having fun because we were in there having fun. As the process went on, I started cutting back teaching and started playing more gigs and everything again. I put all of these expectations and pressure on that didn't exist before. And to be honest, still don't exist. They're all self-imposed, you know? So, and as I was going through and I was having so much trouble, I had mates going, what? Like, I don't understand why you need. And like the physical manifestation of that stress response, illness, sickness, constantly. And I'm like fighting with this thing constantly, right? Throughout the process of like the reps and stuff, I fell back in love with it to the point where the last time, I mean, I only probably finished the last song maybe 6 months ago. I remember going in and Chris was just like, these are the best songs you've recorded yet. And I'm like, yeah, I understand it now. It took that battle of like all of that pressure and it took also me just becoming a better singer and me becoming a better artist as well. Like,
what I'm saying is that you enjoyed the process.
I did enjoy the process. Yeah, I enjoyed
the journey.
I really did.
That is so important.
Yeah.
It is.
If you're not enjoying the journey, stop it.
100%.
Stop it. You'll get back to it, but just stop it because you're not going to produce anything that's of quality.
Pause it and give yourself some space and just.
Whereas you had the validation of someone saying to you, this is the best yet. So that fills your soul, right?
100%.
And that's for all of us.
Mm.
But if you're in a place where, you know, it's not doing, you know, it's not there yet, and you want to, you know, you're hitting a brick wall, let it go, come back to it. That's what I did with my album as well.
100%. And I think throughout this process, like, I used to always laugh at Shembri. I always used to pay him out because his first album, which has amazing artists on it, and his songs are great. Took 4 years to gather everyone together and get it done. And we'd always just take the piss out of each other constantly. It'd be like 4 years. And then it gets like to 2 years for my album. He goes, mate, are you going to get that done anytime soon? But it was like, I learned to like throughout the process as well. What you just said, it's just like, I was just like, it is not time yet to do this. I'm putting it down for a little bit and I'm coming back to it. I just bullied myself into moving forward in the past and being like, you have to do it. And then old projects as well, four members in a band, you've got to get in at certain time periods. You've got to get it done.
Yeah, that's a different ball game. You got to approach that in a different way as well. You're working with you're not working just on your own.
No,
you're working within a team, right? Yep. So you got to have those team dynamics, and that's also good because it's
very good.
It gives you a different perspective, right?
You're learning.
You got to be
different skills.
Yeah, yes.
Different strategies.
and that's all learning, though.
Right? Yes. 100%, and that's why this time was really good to be able to be like, oh, this is a different strategy might be to pause for a little while and to stop and go, oh, I can have some space, and then next time it'll probably be like, oh, we're getting this done.
just enjoy it. It's an amazing industry that we're in.
It is
a love-hate relationship that we have with our own music and our own things, but
yeah,
it's I couldn't imagine myself not being in the industry and not being part of me. So it's an amazing thing that you're doing, Stefan, and it's amazing that you're producing and you're releasing and you're playing, and people you think that people aren't seeing, aren't watching, but there's a lot of people that appreciate it. And this is another thing that we, in our minds, are, yes, just going to listen to my stuff, or, you know, there's people out there that are, yes, you know, and that's the joy that you get when people say, oh, I listen to your track, man. It's quite good.
It will resonate with more people than we realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially with people that you care about, like, you know, when people, like other colleagues, and, you know, the people that are of, you know, within your circle, because they'll tell it how it is.
Yeah, no, they do. My dad is the most honest person I've ever met. He'll tell me if it's not as good as it could be.
I mean, and he's played on it, so I'm guessing he likes his songs.
Because
that'd be awkward.
Like, Stefan, you got to get back in there. Dad, I've done enough.
But that's, I mean, when you get the thumbs up from them, it's like, it fills your heart in a different way.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't need acknowledgement from someone, but it's good to have that support there from people, because sometimes it's a very one person journey.
It can be lonely at times.
It can be lonely.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
When I got here and you waved out, I was on the phone to my friend, and we've been friends for years, and he listened to the album. We actually used to play in a band together. He listened to the album this week, and he said, you know, he goes, I know a lot of friends send each other things and they don't sit down and listen to it. So he's like, I really wanted to sit down and actually listen. And I was like, man, I appreciate this so much. He sat down and listened to the whole thing, and it was just so nice to hear. He was like, he said it was really good, which was very nice to hear. But it was more that he'd just like taken the time to sit there and listen to it properly. And I was like, yeah,
but a lot of people don't do that. I send stuff and I don't hear back. Like, all right, they've either listened to it and thought it was, but you know, whatever, you know.
When you see it and you see the body move, oh, did you hear my track? Yeah, it was good. All right, I know.
It's okay. Yeah, I really, really liked it.
Yeah. Stefan, thank you so much for being a part of the Strike Record podcast. We want to have you back on.
I would love to come back on. Thank we'd love you guys you back. So yeah. much for having me.
There's so much more to ask as well. Like,
I know. Look, we can go on and on and on and on.
Yeah,
and
on.
We're connecting. You know, it's obvious that we're connecting. But the 15th of December.
Yes, it's dropping. It's out.
Dropping. Happily Ever After. So make sure you get all the platforms. Yep.
Whatever streaming service.
So you've also sold yourself to the devil like we have. That's a different discussion.
And you mentioned you have some gigs as well coming up.
Yeah, so I'm playing at the Bergie Band Room on the 23rd of January. Yeah,
oh, great.
Which will be really cool. And then I'm working out, there's a really cool new venue. It's actually a photography studio. This one of my friends, Lauren, it is so cool. It's called Parallax in Geelong. Yeah. So they actually run the gig. There's all these like old couches, and then they have, I met a photography essay, he told me the name of it. You know those white walls that go up the corner walls? Yeah. He told me that. I've never heard the name of it before. This guy told, it's, I'll look it up. and after this,
it's
I'll,
not I'll White show. Walls, is it?
No, it's got a really cool name. But she does gigs in there. So I'm looking at doing one in Geelong in February as well. And it's going to be acoustic, me, another guy playing guitar, and hopefully some harmonies and stuff in there as well. Yeah. But yeah, they're the next two gigs kind
of. Fantastic, family. Look, we wish you all the very best. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, Stephen. I think it's the universe. Yeah, no, we've connected for a reason. So, awesome track, great song. We're going to listen to you playing it live, yeah?
Yes, we're going to play it live together, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Just another shout out to Cake Eclipse for these lovely gingerbread biscuits. I'm one of our sponsors. And our other sponsors, Music Pro Services, for any of your music pro and production needs, music production, guitar tuition, recording, everything else. Thank you
guys for having me. Honestly, it's been like an absolute pleasure just to sit. And the moment I rocked up, I was like, this is sick. And not because just being here, just because the moment I met you, I was like, it's the energy. So thank you so much. And yeah, I would love to come back at any time.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
We're going to have you back in the new year. Yep. We're going to have a break as well for the festive season, as they call it. Yes. Oh, we're going to have you back on. We're gonna have you probably back on this.
I'm thinking with a panel.
With the panel, yeah.
Sometimes we'll do a panel session.
What's a panel?
So we do this thing where every couple of months we do a podcast where a few other musicians come in and they don't know each other, and we just have a chat.
Oh, that's sick.
And we just chat about the industry, what people bugs them, what works for them.
Yeah.
How people, you know, how musicians.
We're not people, we're musicians.
Yeah, party tricks, more last time.
Yes.
Yeah, Simon Pelman. It's a really good thing because just different.
It's fun. Yeah.
She loves that.
So
yeah.
We'll have you on.
Definitely.
Let's do the panel.
Yeah.
All the very best, man.
Thank you.
And too. Yeah, thanks for being part of it.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Until next time. Ciao.
Goodbye.
Across the ocean, I look inside my mind. This faded vintage feeling, like Polaroids lost in your closet for a lifetime. Summer could last forever. Endless rope swings in the lake. Will you love me when I'm older? We'll catch wrinkles running down my face. If we could stay this young forever, maybe we could live happily ever after. If you keep that sparkle in your eye, then maybe we could keep this all alive. Stare up through the ceiling, I float right out the sky. This faded vintage feeling, matchbox cars and sunburnt smiles. 1991 feels like it was just yesterday. Won't you be my sunken anchor and ground me through this endless change? If we could stay this young forever, maybe we could live happily ever after. If you keep that sparkle in your eye, live happily ever after. If you keep that sparkle in your eye, then maybe we could keep this all alive. If you could wish on one lone star, could you do it in the backseat of my car? This cliff face feels so dangerous, but it's the only way that we know how to live our life. How to live our life.
Presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.